So where do you go from here, huh? Man, I'd tell you the truth, honestly, I would have kept worshiping and just skipped the whole sermon time. Yeah, would you, like, show of hands, be willing to do that?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, some of us might be a little awkward and be like, wait a minute, that's not what I grew up with. Yeah, no, I don't hate the sermon either. I love it. But, yeah, there's just these times where the Holy Spirit starts to move, and I'm just like,
sing the sermon.
Sing the sermon. Okay. I'll contemplate that, and I'll get back to you. So 2 weeks ago, we started a new series. We had been talking about, you know, hearing God's voice, and then we switched over to just a discussion of what does it to mean to be a disciple. You know, that word, we kind of covered, that word actually has so many different meanings in different people's mind, even within this church, even among leaders within the church. As we started talking about things like, you know, what is the discipleship program of our church or the discipleship model, I noticed everybody had a different answer and a different opinion, and even a different sense of whether or not we were doing well or not good, not well, at the endeavor, right? It just shows me, like, wow, like, how a word like that, disciple, can have a Christianese, you know, sort of message about it, right? Only the dictionary is in everybody's mind, and it's always different, right? And so I thought, I'll teach my way, which is the best way. No, we talked about how the actual word literally translates into the word learner, right? And Chris did a really good job last week of pointing out the fact that when we're learning, we have to do in order to prove that we're learning. It's part of the learning process, right? We study. If you're learning to do something, it's always better to do on-the-job training than to actually just read a book and then step into it later, right? And then sometimes we do read the book and then go out and do what we read to show, pass the test and show that we comprehend what we've learned, right? If you guys are feeling like spread out, you're welcome to kind of move in. It's totally open here, you know, if you trade seats. Your call. And so what we want to do is we want to take from that Jesus, when he chose his disciples, and they were just the first of many, right? When he chose them, he took them with him, and he would have them doing things. And in the very beginning of the ministry, they weren't doing as much as toward the end, where he was sending them out, and they were actually being entrusted to go to cities all by themselves without Jesus, right? And then when he left this earth, of course, he left behind him like 500 people who actually saw him return. And those were the people who he sent them everywhere from outside of their nation, even to spread the gospel across the earth, right? He entrusted his message with people because they had seen him, they had experienced him, they knew his heart, they knew the scripture, they understood how Christ fulfilled that, and they were carrying outward, right? And then Chris did a great job last week of pointing out how disciples make disciples, right? And so, you know, if you're looking for some more definition on that, you know, just understand that God has called us to not only take, you know, the love of God and just internalize it, but it has to come out, right? Cool. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about how God has offered such a fullness to this thing we called salvation. We said how the word salvation is the word sozo, and that literally translates to save, to deliver, to heal, to protect, to do right by, right? There's so much more when we just say Jesus saved me. It wasn't just that he forgave my sins. That was just a small piece of it. And unfortunately, we tend to, as the big C, capital C church, we tend to focus just on that. And that's like, you know, buying the car and saying that's just to get me from here to there. But there's so much available in the car, so many options available, right? And we talked about how my father-in-law, you know, got the newer car and he didn't know how to use any of the features. And he was trying to study the manual and it didn't make any sense to him. And he, you know, right? And he had people helping him, you know, his son was over, and they were, it's a fun analogy to say that sometimes we read this and we just breeze right over the language that's before us because we only know what we have been taught and what we think we know, and it's hard to sometimes understand something outside of ourselves, right? And so we read this thing, we actually approach it with a filter on so that by the time the words are entering our eyeballs, we're already saying, oh yeah, I already know what that means, and we dismiss the depth of it, right? And so then in Ephesians, we see that the Lord had said, I don't think I have this up on a slide, but in Ephesians 3:18, Paul was praying for the church, and he was praying that the church would have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, long, high, and deep his love is, and may the church experience the love of Christ that is too great to fully understand, and that they would be made complete. Can we say complete? Complete, not just forgiven. Put back together and empowered. That's complete, right? May the church be complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And so that prayer was necessary. It was, you know, I want you to come outside of the box you've put God in and see him for the fullness of who he is and what he's offering, right? Yay. All right, so we believers, we were meant to live this life, this power, this healing, this forgiveness, this freedom. We were meant to live that outside for the world to see. Okay, it wasn't meant to live in these four walls. Though it's very tempting, right? But it's a lot easier. It's also very compartmentalized, isn't it? I go to work. That's the work, Daryl, right? Almost like different Barbies. And then I go to church, and that's, you know, church outfit Barbie.
That would be Ken.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you. Do they make different suits for Ken?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. All right, well. I'm not Ken, so nobody call me Ken doll. Stop laughing. All right, G.I. Joe. No, there were many G.I. Joes. All right. So we are the moment Christ came into our life, the Spirit of God was put into our heart, and we are now hosts of the presence of God. Anybody want to argue that? Okay, good. So we can say amen. All right, so we're now hosting the presence of God in our life, right? And we were not meant to host that in a quiet place. Jesus actually compared that to having a light and putting it under a basket, right? He said, we are like a city up on a hill. And what happens at night when you see a city off in the distance? You see all the lights at night, right? And it lights up the sky, right? And that's what he was comparing us to. And he was saying, you know, when my presence is in your life, when you're hosting me, when you're fully hosting who I am in any moment, you bring that light in and people just can't help but see it. There's a bit of an awareness curve, learning curve that has to take place because we're humans, we hate to stick out, right? We generally hate to. I mean, unless you're one of those rare people who just live to stick out, and some of you are that way. Right? But I mean, generally speaking, none of us do. And so when we host God's presence, we kind of like to do it quietly and in a reserved and hidden fashion. And, you know, the idea of doing it in a place, especially where we don't have any of like the Christian toys that comes along with us, like the worship or the proper environment, or then we don't want to do that, right? Because it's kind of weird at that point. And Christ is telling us, take it out of here, right? He's calling us to take it into the dry places where we don't have any of the Christian toys, right? Amen. It's part of what Paul is asking for as far as going to the park, and really what he's asking for is people to go hunting. Now, if that sounds offensive, don't let it be. I'm not telling you that your job is to hunt people and, you know, you have to lead them across this finish line of, you know, I have to get them saved and I have to give them a track and I have to make them pray this prayer or else I have not done my job and therefore I have to force feed it and hard sell it. That's not what I'm talking about, right? But what I am talking about is letting the presence of God in you reach out to that person and draw them. It's by his kindness that we are drawn to repentance, right? Okay, cool. So being a disciple is really just opening up the windows and letting the light of Christ shine out of us. When everything in you is tempted to just be busy, distracted, caught up in something else, and shut the windows. Right? Okay. We're also tempted when we're dealing with issues to think that that issue disqualifies us from shining that light, from hosting that presence, right? Yep. We also think that when we're frustrated at God, have you ever been frustrated at God? That that disqualifies you? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I'm looking at everybody on purpose. Because every one of us in some way are wishing God would do something different in our life, change something, do something else. And, you know, we're like, I'm waiting on him to do that. And when I do that, when he does that, then I can step into this more full and free place. He's like, he works in broken people. Broken people. If he's waiting on us to be all settled and sorted, he's going to be waiting in eternity. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So then let's look at Psalms 67, 1 through 2. I want to show you something. This comes from the Old Testament, but so much of the Psalms is all about living in the fullness of God. Even though David didn't fully have, you know, the revelation, the understanding of Christ, he had a window into what grace was like, right? And what we even see here is the fourth word. May God be gracious. May he pour out grace on us is basically what he's asking, right? And bless us and make his face shine upon us. And that even lends itself well to this idea that we're hosting his presence and it's like a light and we're supposed to host that light like a city on a hill, or don't hide the light. It's the shining of God's face. It's his favor upon us, right? It's the grace of God upon us that we're supposed to be shining out. This is Old Testament language, but it's a great place for us to kick off. Verse number 2, we want his grace, we want his blessing, we want his face to shine upon us so that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. Do you see it? I want your blessing, your grace, your favor, God, so that it goes out and people see and understand and know your ways.
Amen.
Amen, Donna. Yeah. Let me read to you Psalms 89:15. I don't believe I have a slide for this, so you have to listen. Sorry. This one says, Psalm 89:15, if you want to flip there to your Bible and read it with me. But happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship. They will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. Did you catch that? They rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation. They exult in your righteousness and their glorious strength. Our power is based on your favor, God. Did you catch it? That was not meant so we could just cash in and say, I have a secret thing that it's all for me. The only dead, stagnant waters on earth are the ones that never pour out and only water pours in, right? The Dead Sea, you guys know this, right? Nothing grows in the Dead Sea and water never flows out of the Dead Sea. There's a river that flows into it, always filling it up. Nothing flows out. The thing is dead, stagnant, nothing grows there. All right. So we'll be talking about today is, and I don't have a lot of time, so maybe next week too, is walking and living in the light, okay? Living in it intentionally, open, letting the struggle, letting the victory all show out to the world, okay? So that people understand that this grace we have is not from ourselves, it's from God. It almost sounds like a scripture, doesn't it? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Right? So that they may see it is a grace that is not from ourselves. Right? So, our lifestyle has to be congruent, though, with our worship and with our favor. So, as we receive that favor in our life, that power we're asking for, that graciousness that David was talking about, as we receive that, then our lifestyle has to match that. Because if our lifestyle is not matching it, but we're still asking for it, we sound kind of crazy. And raise your hand if you like to sound crazy, insane, contradictory. Any takers? Right? Nobody wants to sound like that, like the do what I say, not as I do message, right? Okay, and so we're going to also talk about this word that the church often hates, but it's a word throughout Scripture, and that's holiness. Right? Am I scaring anybody? We have to pursue that, because as we're approaching Him and we're asking for grace and power in our life, but if we're not using it also to develop holiness in further and further ways in our life, then what are we using it on? What are we wasting it on? What does the world see that's different about us? If we're just sinners who stay sinners saved by grace, what good is it? People want to see transformation. They don't have to see perfection. They want to see transformation. Right? Did I see people's faces suddenly go hard? Yeah. Holiness is not something you do yourself. Holiness is something you surrender to. Two totally different things. Right? People will spend more effort fighting holiness than actually surrendering to it. Justifying. Right? How many of you are familiar with the fact that when Christ gave us a command, He would always give us the power to fulfill that command? We have any problem with that? I see no hands, so do I have to preach that sermon? When Jesus said, "Obey my commands," do you think He was giving us like a situation that was mission impossible? No. Good, because that's not the God I know. He doesn't put something out there impossible in front of you without also giving us the power to perform that, right? To will and to work according to His pleasure, right? And so the Holy Miss message, we're going to break it down. We're going to talk all about the different areas. We're going to get all, you know, itchy and uncomfortable. We have to understand that it's not only His desire, but it's also what He's doing within us. The power of the Holy Spirit within us is to be able to grow into, surrender to, and walk in that freedom. Yes? Okay. Nobody wants to move because you're afraid I'm going to like pick on something that's like really sacred to you and your flesh.
So, like, I think about work, like what do people see in
you? What do people at work see in you?
That's what I always battle with.
Yeah.
Do people see God's glory on you? Am I walking?
Yep.
I'm not.
Yep. Good. Just surrender to it. I mean, invite
the
Holy Spirit.
See my disasters and my overcomings. Mm-hmm. That's what I think God wants them to see. And I mean,
right.
Well, they caught me doing that today.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know what they think of me.
Man, I'm going to tell you.
Am I bringing shame to God by what I'm doing?
I'm going
to
tell you, if you even make a mistake at work in front of other people and you feel this sense like, now I've ruined it, just begin to repent right in front of them so they can actually see and understand what repentance looks like.
I have.
Yeah. No, I'm encouraging you.
I would say,
yep.
I guess they would know that, well, I'm not perfect, but God, you know, I always bring God into the picture.
Yep.
And awesome. I might feel a little embarrassed while I'm telling them. They probably don't know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's okay. They don't fully understand it because the gospel's foolishness, but that's why they need foolish people like us to demonstrate it. Amen.
A man say to me, when I was running the machine, and I was the only, I don't know what the problem was, and happened to me, and the lead guy said, well, that's because he knows the Lord, but the next day it trashed out on me, so.
Doesn't matter.
But at least that day, he was able to say, well, he knows the Lord. He didn't do it sarcastically.
Sure. That's okay. I say that at work all the time.
Yeah,
when something works, you know, we close a deal or whatever, I'm like, no charge for bringing in the big guy. It's fun. All right, so John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, "You are truly my disciples. If you pray the prayer, make me Lord of your life." Oh, that's not the right Bible. If you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? You will know the truth is somewhat connected to the first verse prior to it, which is if you remain faithful to my teachings, right? Like, that's how you recognize the truth, is being faithful to understand what He's saying, which means we have to have our ears wide open to listening and our eyes wide open to reading and hearing and letting it come into our life and change us. Amen? And if there's any part of you that is in, you know, all the struggles that we all could possibly be talking about here, justifying why it doesn't pertain to you, and to whatever degree it doesn't pertain to you, you're cutting yourself off from the ability to receive the truth, which will then set you free in the area you're struggling with. Denial doesn't work. And hiding doesn't work. Hiding just pushes the problem downhill. It grows, and then you have to deal with it later, but in a much more severe way, which is the benefit of walking in the light. You get to take care of it while it's still small. No amens. All right, cool. I'll keep going. I'm really not self-conscious here. I love how when he said the truth will set you free, that word in the Greek not only means to liberate, but it means to deliver, to make you free, and to make you exempt. Nice, right? Nice. So for any of you who have gone through maybe a session of deliverance or two here at the church, and there, you know, you'll hear this scripture probably every time, that the truth will set you free, right? It's because truth and deliverance are actually, like, the freedom of truth in deliverance are interchangeable words. And if anyone wants to set up a time, I know you're getting married, but maybe you can pencil them in August. cool, guys. So, yeah, talk to Alex and Marguerite, please. One of the first commands that Jesus gave us, and, you know, I did a journey and I found, so it's roughly between 30 and 39 commands that Jesus gave us, which is very simple compared to the 615, I believe it was, that existed prior to him coming, that were part of the law, right, and part of the extra law. So there was the Bible, there was like 300 and some commands in Scripture in the Old Testament, and then the scribes and the Pharisees added an additional 300-ish, I'm round numbering it, that were not even scriptural, and now the people are just weighed down with commands and laws, right? And then Jesus comes in and he simplifies it all down to two commands, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He simplifies it, but over his time where he said, you are my disciples, if you obey my teachings and my commands, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go find every one of them. And I found somewhere between 30 and 39, depending on when you read some of the things he says, you could say that could be a command or that could have just been him just telling us what life is about. And either way, I'm gonna obey it, but now I'm stuck with the dilemma of saying, do I have 30 or 39 here? I don't know. I'm doing all the talking, so I'm going with 30. All right. 39? All right.
That's what I was saying.
Cool. 39 stripes. I don't know. Who knows? The other one, one of the important ones that he gave us was in John 13. He said, your love for one another, well, he told them to love one another, but then he said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Did you know, like, the way that we actually love each other and honor each other, even in those times where we're maybe not feeling closely connected with each other, but the way we honor each other before the world shows them what a disciple is. And so it's so easy to be frustrated with another believer and to kind of isolate from them or from a group of believers. It can be very, very common coming out of a church to be upset at that church, right? Human? Okay, ever been upset at a church? Just me. Okay, but as we come out of that, and or if you've been hurt by a certain believer or a group of, you know, gossipy ladies, or whether it was like the harsh, annoying man, or whether it was the person that was always talking out, or it was the person, right? Whatever the frustration, but as we honor those people, we connect to those people, as we forgive and we connect in love, we're showing to the world what a disciple is like. When we get frustrated, pull away. Gossip, when we're frustrated, when it shows on our face, when we cut them off, right? That is not showing any form of discipleship, forgiveness, or love to the earth, right? Who likes living in a fishbowl? Nobody likes it, but tough, you're it. We walk in the light, and we have fellowship with God and with man. Yes? All right, cool. I'm all over the place, but I'm trying to take a lot of information and pack it in quickly. Another command that Jesus gave us was in Luke 14:33. Now, prior to that, he was basically telling us we had to forsake everything for him, to know him. And that sounds like a harsh command, right? Give up everything to know me. He even used some language in scripture that talked about the love you have for your family is almost like hatred compared to the love you have for me. And we were like insulted by that, right? You guys don't want to talk about? You read the same Bible as me? All right, cool. Just checking. You have the same book? All right, cool. So I'm giving this verse to you in two different translations. One's the King James because Jesus talked in King James. And the other's in the Message. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And in the Message, he said, simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether it's plans or people, kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. And what the world needs to see is a people that so disregards the things of this life that they're half interesting compared to knowing him. The world needs to see that. The world doesn't need to see a bunch of Christians trying to hold on to what they have, protect what progress they've made, argue, fight, keep things to themselves, not be generous, play it close to the vest, not be open, right? Try to pursue his kingdom at the same time, not willing to quit anything for him to be able to pursue, right? They need to see a people whose schedule is intentionally freed up for the things of God, not just fitting them in where we can, right? Yes.
You asked us how we can do this, and yesterday we were exposed to a scripture I forgot about and has been singing loudly. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits.
Right.
And that's how and only how we can do this, mm-hmm. be his disciples.
Amen.
He loads us with those benefits, and it just screamed at me yesterday, and we needed to hear that today.
Good. Yeah, you're on the same wavelength here. Yeah, we're not going to do anything that you've read here in our own strength. Just by hearing a sermon and saying, today I will do better. The subtitle of that phrase is, and in 5 minutes I will fail. Right? It's not by might, not by power. It's by my spirit. But it is in surrender. It is in surrender. Where do we go next? I got a few minutes, but I don't want to. You know what? I'm gonna close it right there because I have some places that I want to go, and I think it's gonna take too long. And I'm, you know, you guys just kept on worshiping, and I was trying to stop you, and and I was like, you're gonna ruin my sermon. No, I'm being silly. I love it, guys. Please hear me. If we were to, this is my opinion, okay? And everybody's got one, and they all stink. If we were to worship straight through a service, and the presence of God was here, and then things that the Holy Spirit wanted to accomplish were to break out and happen, I would be so much more at peace with that than feeling like I got all these notes out spoken. Because really, like, let the whole. Yeah, there's always next week. What you do is put me on vacation for another week, and then I just reuse these. But the fact is, right, when the Holy Spirit has his way, that's the goal. That's the, yes, field goal, and everybody can celebrate. It's when man has their way that we've just, what good is that?
Monday we sang and we prayed all day.
Yeah, Monday night men's?
Amen.
Yes? No, I'm saying the Monday night men's. When you said Monday, we sang and prayed.
No, we sang.
Yeah.
And then we didn't do a sermon.
Yeah.
Time was
right.
Wherever the Spirit leads.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So we're going to cover over the next couple of weeks, and I know all you're going to schedule your vacations now that you know, that we're going to cover the commands of Christ. But guys, we have to grasp that when Jesus came to bring us life and healing and freedom, he brought with him a set of commands that were meant to walk us into life and healing and freedom. He wasn't just calling us, like healing us so we could be obedient. He was bringing us, he's inviting us into an obedience that creates life and freedom and healing. Okay? And so as we discuss these things, yeah, we might say, you know, I'm going to have to surrender in my life, but at the same time, I guarantee you there's a piece of you that is going to jump inside and say, if I can find the freedom of God, if I can find true release, true holiness, purity, relationship, openness in this area of my life, everything's going to change, and I know it. And you're right. And so that one piece of your flesh is screaming, don't kill the sacred cow. And the other side of your flesh will be saying, bring it. I need this. I can't live another day without it. Right? And we go from glory to glory and faith to faith. So if there's any part of us that says, you know, I've already dealt with enough, you know what? No. We give our utmost for the one who gave it all, right? And so, yeah, I'm so thankful that he took us the 85%. But I'm not willing to hold on to the 15 just because I feel like I've done enough, right? And so I surrender all. It's a song, right? It doesn't end at the moment of salvation. That's when it begins. Yeah. All right. So you don't even need to put up the screen with the ending. We're just gonna pray. You know what? And Adam, maybe you and I can just go in tandem on this one. I'll just bring you a mic and I'll start praying, and then whatever you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, then you just sort of pray it out. I appreciate it, man. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I sense that you want to do a fresh work in the body of Christ in the area of holiness. I sense that, God, you're going to not only pour out that, but Lord, there's something else. You're maturing the body of Christ because you're about to pour out something even greater, a greater understanding of your love and your power. God, you're going to, I feel like you're going to expand the influence of the capital C church in this area, that you're preparing us for revival. And God, one of the things that you always did in Scripture before any big move was you would send people to say, prepare the way of the Lord. It's time to repent. It's time to let go. It's time to take the crooked things and make them straight. And God, we don't want to miss anything that you're doing. God, I'm so thankful that you didn't tell us any command that you weren't fully prepared to do for us, in us, and through us. That you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And that, Lord, we didn't come into this thing by our own strength, and we're not going to live it by our own strength. God, we're going to surrender to the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit, that when we are weak, you are strong. And so, God, I grab hold of, I claim, I declare, I decree holiness and sanctification upon the body of Christ, Father, starting now, that today begins a new day of stepping out into, God, what would you have me do in this instance? What about this one? Lord, that we're going to, from this day on, take a new step on this road of discovery to find you, to find a deeper passion and fullness in you, God, as we consecrate, as we separate ourselves unto you, Father, to understand what it means to be a vessel of honor and purity and wholeness, carrying an undiluted love and power, Father, and purpose. Yeah, let this be a summer of holiness, I pray. Let this be a summer of freedom. God, I just say that chains will fall and break off this summer in Jesus' name. Addiction and bondage will fall away in the name of Jesus. Anger and bitterness and unforgiveness has no place in us. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you are strengthening your body. You're coming back for a bride who is without spot or wrinkle. And that cleansing comes only through your blood, not through our effort. So we surrender to the blood of Christ, the work of God, the finishing work of God in our life, Father. And Lord, as we begin to undertake this mission, I pray, Father, that you will partner us with like-minded, like-hearted, safe people, Father, that we can even talk these things through when we have questions or thoughts or needed support. God, you've just put us in a body of safe people, put us together and connect us in such a way, Father, that not one of us is doing this thing isolated and alone, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Father God, thank you so much for this body of believers. And I add my faith to Daryl's. And just thank you in advance that this next season, that we can shed our skin and just get rid of all the dead, and that our words be filled with love, and that our words be your words, Lord. And we can develop a mindset where we'd rather brag about our shortcomings than boast about our victories. We can build each other up. And that this family gets stronger. You know, and I was thinking too, with the analogy that Daryl used a few weeks ago about the manual for the new vehicle and just wanting to learn all the features that the book came with, and the analogy of the Bible. I was trying to get my phone to connect to the Bluetooth and the stereo the other day, and boy, I tell you what, I was going to stop at nothing to get that thing downloaded into my brain. There was no way that I was going to quit. I wanted to learn that manual from front to back and learn about everything that my phone could do with the radio. And boy, I wish I had that same drive when it comes to reading the manual that God gave us. So Lord, just help me get my priorities in order. And thank you so much for all the grace and the love that this family has extended to me. And just thank you so much for your son. In his mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you're wondering, what do I do this week? Well, I believe as you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, be prepared for certain priorities to be just touched on. Okay? Like he's going to say, I'm changing some things. Well, I don't like my things changed. I don't like my things messed with. It's okay. Just surrender priorities. Just begin to give it to him, okay? You don't have to really do a whole lot. Just, I give it to you. I give you permission to mess with me. And to watch him begin to shape things, okay? And then we're going to have some conversations. They'll be very good. If you have any questions, call me, call Chris, call Paul, call I mean, like we'll work this through, okay? But I know he's calling for a deeper level, just a commitment to purity and holiness, okay? And freedom. Amen? Amen. Okay. Let it be done, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are dismissed. Thanks for coming.